Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to see what I mean when you hear who our next guest is. Our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont, is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's former governor of the great state of Delaware, former member of Congress, representative from that great state, former presidential candidate, leader in the Republican Party, now chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, and are just a great American. Governor Pete DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you. I liked your beginning. I'd like to know what a cyber king wears when he goes on the air.
it's a crown. I have a crown.
A crown.
Yeah.
And a nice cape.
It has a noodle cluster. It's a pink crown with a noodle cluster.
Oh, that's very good.
And a cape. Oh, yeah, I have a cape. I have a cape and a scepter also. I have all that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to get some of that when I come on.
It's very efficient. Of course, you know, there's nobody else here, so it's just me sitting on my throne all by myself, so to speak.
Right.
What is it they say, a man outstanding in his own mind or something like that?
Yeah, that's right.
A legend in his own mind. Maybe that's what it is. Governor, thank you again for being here, and it's always a pleasure. You're always welcome here. And for folks, as you know, Governor DuPont is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and spends time with us from time to time and shares his ideas. Governor, I'd like your thoughts, if you don't mind, on President Obama's first tour of Europe as the President of the United States. How do you think it went for him? And how did it go for America?
Well, I think it went very well for him. He met a lot of Europeans, obviously, that he had not met before. It's his first international trip of that kind as a president. He stopped in and saw the troops on the way home, as we learned in the paper this morning.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think from his perspective, it was a very good trip. I think the Europeans were very, very supportive of him in the election, very happy that he won the election. But once he got over there and started talking to them, I think they got a feeling that he was trying to bring everything together in some kind of a global something or other, and America was going to tell him what to do. And I think they kind of pulled back a little.
Well, do you think he started to feel a little bit like George Bush feels or felt?
I think he had a lot more confidence than that, but yeah. I think he must have been a little surprised.
Well, my only point is you know, a lot of people blamed George Bush for the sentiment that people had around the world, but the truth is a lot of the sentiment, that especially in Europe, toward America, was already there before George Bush ever became president. I'm not defending George Bush. My point is the Europeans have had a jealousy factor for America for a long time before George Bush, and they didn't. And when George Bush left, they didn't get rid of it just because Obama got elected.
Well, that's a good point, and that's exactly how the Europeans feel. They were very jealous, I think, of America because we had a much more market-oriented economy than they do. They're
more successful.
Very socialist in Europe. We were very successful. We did better than they did. And I think that irritated them. And, of course, they always want the United Nations to do things so that America gets limited somehow. Cap and trade and global warming things are one example. So I think they were a little worried about us. But I get the feeling that they listened to Obama and that they didn't think that he was part of their team that he was. They thought he was trying to tell him stuff. And
they,
I think that
they thought he not only stuck a little finger in America's eye. I mean, he was a little disparaging of us when he went over there, which set a lot of people on edge. But he also stuck his finger in their eye a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I don't know why he goes to foreign countries and says that America isn't doing doing as well as it should be. I mean, that's not the way to...
That's not very good, is it?
No, and it might be accurate in some cases. I think America's done very well, or we're not doing very well in the recession economically, but then again, neither is Europe. But to wander around and explain to other countries some of the challenges in your own country, I mean, that's not the goal. You ought to be trying to get them to understand what we're doing and where we're going and why we're going to get better. And so I'm not sure why he takes that position.
One of the things that I think is interesting about these attitudes about America, Governor, is if every country in the Security Council takes a turn at night answering the call 911 from countries who might have trouble around the world, whenever those countries have to dial 911, they pray that they have the United States night, not Russia's night or not China's night. They want us, when they need to dial 911, they need some kind of help militarily or financially, they pray that the United States answers that call. And you know what? We always do. Stand by, 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very, very much for using it. We built it for you. 5 seconds. If you got 5 seconds, you got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. Whatever's on your mind under the small business sun, we've got something that will help you there, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog. My new post, which we put up yesterday, is on cash flow and some things to think about to make sure cash. And by the way, folks, the title of the piece is Cash Used to Be King, but Now It's the Emperor. So check that out and leave a comment if you get a chance. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter these days. Yeah, Jim Blassingame is on Twitter. That's twitter.com/Jim Blassingame. Governor Pete DuPont is with us. He's our good friend, the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. It's an organization I recommend that you check out. Governor, one of the things that as you know, this is a small business show, but I'm concerned about our national security, because I remember what happened when we were attacked last time in 9/11/01, and the economy flowed backwards. I mean, it really set us back. And if we had that kind of an attack right now, if we had some kind of a dust up right now, even something from North Korea that could possibly create a problem, something like that, I'm afraid our economy is fragile enough that it would really be detrimental. And so that's the reason why I think it's appropriate to talk about national security on this show. What do you think about our national security right now?
Well, it's being reduced. The budget for the military has been dramatically decreased in what the administration proposed to the Congress. Now, Congress
Secretary Gates made a big announcement on that this week, didn't he?
Just over the weekend, and Congress hasn't voted for it all yet. But I think particularly the House of Representatives' thinking is that the military is much too big, costs much too money, and let's just scale it all back. That's the kind of thinking there's been in Europe. Europe scaled back after.
Yep.
After the war, last war.
Well, they scaled back because we were still there to protect them.
Well, exactly right. And I think one of these days we're gonna come up against it. And, you know, when you get a new president, the whole world watches for a while to see what the man's really like, to see what he thinks about this or that. So I think we may find we had a North Korea missile last week. It didn't work very well, but it got a lot of attention.
They fired it.
They fired it, and they would love to make all the missiles and export them and make money from other countries. So we got a problem there. We saw, of course, all the stuff that went on in Europe when Bill Clinton was president. So I think we'll get a lot of challenges, and international relations are very important when a new president comes into office. The president did well talking about it all.
Do you think that Mr. Obama is naive about Do you get the idea that he's naive about how things are? I mean, they're now talking about, we're not saying a war on terror anymore. And so I've been joking, saying, with my tongue in my cheek, saying, I guess they're going to call it our campaign against those mean people. And wow. And so, you know, I mean, there are bad people out there. There's evil out there that mean us harm. And we can't be naive about that, can we?
No, we can't, and we're going to see it. I mean, we're going to pull out of Iraq now, according to the president. I don't know how that's going to go. We need to put some pressure on them because we've been there a long time. We've done about all we can do. But there's going to be more countries that have that kind of a problem, and I'm not sure what our position is going to be. When the missile was fired by North Korea, the president said it was illegal, against the rules, had to be worked against, had to be taken care of. But I haven't heard a word about what we're going to do. And I think we need a clear policy in an incident like that kind of labels America and tells people where we're going.
Do you think that this president sees himself too much as an international president, not as much as the president just of the United States?
Oh, I think he's much more American-oriented than he is international-oriented. I mean, he has international challenges, and he'd like to America to become a socialist economy run by the government. Of course, that's what Europe already is. That's what Russia already is.
Yeah.
That's what China already is.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd love to see that come to pass, but I think his real goal is to make sure that happens within America.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if he can sell that to foreign countries, they should like it. So
right.
Maybe that's part of the plan.
Well, you know, once we get to that point, we won't be buying as much China stuff. So
no.
China probably actually, if they think about it, they need to keep us as a capitalistic country. Let's change horses and talk a little bit about some of the policies that are being pursued right now and as they affect small businesses. What's the one that you're following the closest right now?
Oh, I think the one thing that's absolutely going to happen is nationalized health care.
Yeah.
We're going to have a plan that puts the government in charge of all of our health care. The government's going to decide.
You think that's a fait accompli?
Oh, I think it's, yes. I don't know that, I mean, there'll be some argument about it in the House and in the Senate, but I think that's a program that, oddly enough, a lot of the profession is beginning to support. But the example I look at is the state of Oregon, which has the list of hundreds of things and, you know, that,
right.
that the state will fund, and you go down the list, you know, item 214, and then they draw a line and say, underneath that, we're just not going to help.
Right.
In Europe, you see older people in their late 70s, 80s who have a problem, and the government says, well, they're so old, they're near dying.
That's
so
de facto euthanasia, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
That's de facto euthanasia, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is de facto euthanasia, but it's kind of mean to people, and we may see it happen here.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I'm going to ask about the balance of power in the Senate, which is where the big fight's going to be in all these issues when we come back. I'm also going to ask the governor about the future of the GOP. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till on Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont, a great American, ladies and gentlemen, chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. Governor, and by the way, all three of the outstanding scholars there, Governor DuPont, Terry Neese, and Bob McTeer, are long-term members of our Brain Trust. And so we've been supporting that organization for a long time and the things that they stand for. Governor, tell us a little bit about NCPA.
Well, NCPA is something John Goodman started a long time ago. He's interested in health care. He's written 7 books about health care challenges. He's got a whole set of programs about how we need to fix the health care system.
Isn't he the guy that basically invented the health savings account?
Yes, he did. And he put it forward, and we all have one, of course. We don't all have one, but a lot of people
I have one.
And so he can talk about the health care, and that's his interest, and he started NCPA so he could advance his ideas, and now it's broadened out. It doesn't deal with foreign policy, but it deals with a full range of domestic issues, from taxes to federal spending to global warming, all the local issues. But health care is his really good thing, and if you go on to ncpa.org, you can learn more about health care, get answers to all the health care questions, and John Goodman does a really good job.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks, ncpa.org. Governor, with all these policy issues, the health care, the cap and trade, which I'm against, the union bill, the so-called Employee Free Choice Act, which is erroneously named the card check bill, all the same thing, that one, I'm against that. I've been fighting that for a long time, long before President Obama got in office. But these things are going to come down to, like the swings, like the battleground states in an election, Governor, they're really going to come down to about three senators, isn't it? Because if it can pass through the House, and if any of these bills will pass the House, they can get in the Senate, and they still have to beat the filibuster rule. They have to get to cloture, which means that the 60 senators have to vote for it. The Democrats don't have 60 senators to vote for it, unless the two Senate sisters from Maine, Collins and Snow, join them, and unless Specter from Pennsylvania joins them. Those are the three battleground senators, aren't they?
Well, you got it exactly right, and Specter has said he's not going to be for card check. And I can't imagine why anyone would say that members of a union can't have a secret ballot. I mean,
it's un-American.
We have secret ballots to elect our congressmen, our governors, our president. Why shouldn't we have a secret decision whether you want to join the union or not? But the unions, of course, have a lot of problem with that because
they can't sell their product, Governor. They're declining,
exactly right.
And they're trying to get government fiat to help them increase their numbers.
So, in any case, Arlen Specter said he's not going to support it, and that was a big advance because if he'd supported it, they'd have been right at those.
But they don't have to have Arlen if they've got if they got Olympia and Susan, they don't have to have.
I don't know what the two main senators have said. They've kind of been up and down on it, so I don't know where they're going to end up. But if both of them are for it, we might.
Let me give you a little bit of a connection here. The new SBA administrator, Karen Mills, which I'm looking forward to working with her. I've worked with every administrator of the SBA since 1997, three different administrations. Now I'm looking forward to working with her and being productive with her, but she's from Maine, and I wonder if there's not going to be some kind of a connection between her and small business and the Maine senators and the card check bill. I wonder about that.
Oh, I think you've. I think it will certainly have some emotional impact, and it might get the votes, and that's something that is very murky. You don't know until the vote
right.
comes along, but a lot of work has got to be done to make sure we don't get that card check.
I got to ask you one quick question, but we got about a minute before we go. Over the weekend, Newt Gingrich said that if the Republican Party doesn't stop looking like just the right side of a big government, that there might be that he wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a third party launched in the next year or two. What do you think?
Well, it is possible. It's happened in the past when somebody's come along and run as a third party and on the Republican side and helped the Democrat win the election.
And vice versa.
Yeah, Bill Clinton got elected that way. It's happened the other way, if you go back into the 20s. So I think that's a challenge, and the Republican Party needs to get a vision. It needs to get four or five ideas put forward and say, here's how we're different than the Democratic Party,
right.
And the party needs to start selling it now because it's going to take a year or so for people to get focused. So,
and that's exactly what Gingrich is talking about. But,
that's right.
But if there was a president, Pete DuPont, on the independent party ballot, I would vote for him. Thank you, Governor. For being
that's
here.
That's what Cyber Kings do.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Governor, for being here. We'll see you next time. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm just an American. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.